He was the only barber in that town, and because he cut everyone's hair and did so for years and years, he was really quite good. But unfortunately, in that small town, a chain hair salon moved in, and they put up a sign that said, "All haircuts, $3. All haircuts, $3. As you'd expect, the barber who'd been there forever cutting everyone's hair began to see his business decline more and more and more. And finally, in an act of desperation, he called in a business consultant. Business consultant came in, and on the first day, mulled over all his books and his records, and he asked the barber all kinds of questions about his business. And at the end of the day, the barber asked the consultant, he said, "Well, what do you think? Am I going to have to close my shop?" And the consultant said, "No, wait for tomorrow. I'll be back." Well, the next day, the consultant showed up, and he had this huge banner that he stretched out in front of the shop, and it said, "We fix $3 haircuts." You know, there's a theme that is a message that is so clear in the Bible. And it's that when people turn away from God or never turn to God at all, their lives settle for less, for far less than the goodness and the blessing that God wants to pour into their lives. They think $3 haircuts are an incredible deal. But it's not until someone announces and shows them a better look is available do they begin to learn otherwise. Jesus said, "The harvest, it's plentiful, but the workers, they're few." There was a good example given to a very agrarian culture that painted to them, I am sure, a very clear picture. It lets us know that if we aren't praying for more harvesters and going forth ourselves to harvest the plentiful fields, those abundant crops will dry up and the plentiful harvest withers and fades. The idea is if we wait too long to bring in the grain, great opportunity is missed because right now the harvest is just plentiful. How tragic it would be if so much plenty was at hand and so little cultivated. Just like the barber who'd been in business for years, we've been given a message: we can fix $3 haircuts. But we've also been given a mission, and that is to cut as many of those heads as we are able so that they can experience a whole new look. Another way of thinking about what we are to go and do is to think about the story of Noah and his ark. You see, like the people in Noah's day, they should have gotten into Noah's ark before the floods came. That way they would have been saved. And the people of our day, they're called to get not into a boat, but into Jesus Christ. Because that's where they will find salvation and a whole new beginning. But who's going to tell them? Who will announce the way of salvation? If you look at the world right now, if you look at the overall trends of Christianity and Western civilization, it's abundantly clear that silence is not golden. Those in political correctness circles who believe religion is to be quiet and private may not realize that Jesus calls us not only to stand up for what we believe, but to share it faithfully, regardless of the outcome, because the message that God is a God of love who blesses his people and his kingdom is at hand is an incredible, good, wonderful opportunity. And so he calls us to go and to share faithfully, regardless of the outcome. Reminds me of two Mormons. You know how they're always in pairs. They went into a neighborhood. They were knocking on doors, and they got to this one lady's house, and she opened the door and saw that there were two Mormons there who were starting to witness to her, and she didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so she said, "You guys need to leave," and she slammed her door, but the door flew back open. Well, they're still standing there and wanting to have nothing to do with them. She a little more vigorously shut the door, but it swung back open. Well, by golly, now she was determined, because they're still standing on her porch. She grabbed that door and she bent back and she was just going to slam that thing shut right in their faces. But just as she was about to do it, one of them calmly said, "Ma'am, you may want to remove your cap from the doorway." The one that we go forth to introduce people to is the most merciful, wonderful, and powerful leader, guider, and provider anyone could ever meet or follow. And whether people receive our message of blessing or reject it altogether, Jesus sends us to be faithful in telling them that right now, today, we have opportunity to climb aboard and find that God provides a way to rise above the tide of judgment. That people no longer have to drown, but have a way of salvation that allows them to rise above it all. Jesus understood that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so in agreement with Romans 10:14, which ponders, how are they to believe in the one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him unless they are sent? And so Jesus tells us to pray for harvesters as we ourselves go out to harvest. And why I like the fact that he shares that plan of God that includes us with us. As you see, when we step into where God is at work, that's when we experience his power. And people want a faith that really will carry them. And they want to know that the power of God is at work in them. And so what we need to do is to join God wherever the Lord is working. And the good news is when we work for the Lord, we don't have to do it alone. That's why we come to communion today. We are to gather together because he's gifted us all in a variety of ways to go forth and tell, declare, and share his good news. But he comes to remind us that he's here to nourish our faith, and that when we go, he goes with us. So we spend time with him now because he wants to hear what's going on in our lives, and then he wants to send us forth to carry out the plan that God has for you as you seek to live it by faith. Today we'll do communion by intinction. I was getting ready to say the choir can come first, out of habit. But what we'll do after we bless the elements is, beginning in the back row, you may come down when you're ready, and then the other rows can follow. Marty Hauser will hold the loaf, and you can tear a piece off the loaf. I'll hold the cup. You can dip it into the cup, and then if you'll return on the outside to your seats. If you can't make it up, don't worry. We'll come to you will make sure everybody is served. If you'd rather not tear from the loaf and dip in the common cup, we have some gluten-free wafers, some crackers, and some juice on the plate. If you'd like to partake that way, that is okay too. But Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And as we see the bread broken and the juice poured, it's a reminder of what he was willing to do in an act of sacrificial love. And he wants us to be able to digest that so that we can go out into the world and sacrificially love others as well. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you've been baptized in his name, you are welcome to this most holy feast. And let's begin as we together pray our communion liturgy that's there in your bulletin. Great is the mystery of faith. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And let us pray. God, it is right to give you our thanks and praise, for even though we are a rebellious people, you come to forgive. You invite us into your kingdom, and you make us citizens of the eternal heavens. You even grant us your Holy Spirit to help us in our faith, to remind us over and over again that we were claimed by you in the waters of baptism, and we will forever be held in the warmth of your embrace. And we're glad that even though our lives do hunger and thirst for much, we know we can come here and hunger and thirst for your righteousness, the life in God that you so freely give. And as different as we may be, we have that great privilege of being able to come together and, like a family, just share what's going on in our days and our moments as we're strengthened by the fellowship that we have with you and with one another. But Lord, I do pray for those with broken bones and those with broken spirits who find the way forward hard. You would show them your power, that you would do miracles of healing and help in their lives, so that they can continue in that journey of faith. But Lord, do not ask them to go it alone. May you send us to those folks so that we can encourage them and remind them of all that you've promised our lives. And Lord, today our prayer isn't just for ourselves. As we did last Sunday, we lift up our nation once more, for we do want to be a nation under God, and we want people to live by your truth and your way. So I pray that your churches, not only here in America, but throughout the world, can make Jesus Christ known. That his love would become visible not only in our words, but in our actions. So we do come and we lift up our hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. And we look for that day when we will all finally sit around the great banquet table together forever, rejoicing in your everlasting love and presence. So be with us now as we come praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, for he wants us to remember how in an act of sacrificial love, he gave himself to be the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So we recall the night of the Passover that he celebrated with the disciples in the upper room, and how when they were finished, he took the bread that was there, and when he did, he gave thanks. And then he blessed it and he broke it, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. And then in like manner, he took the cup that was there. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And whenever you drink from the cup and you eat the bread, do so remembering me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and you are welcome to this holy feast. And so anybody who is ready to come forward at this time may do so to receive this meal. God, bread and juice are such common things of this creation. But it's a reminder that you love coming to us in our common and ordinary days to be with us. To be with us in those miraculous moments, but also in these many common, ordinary days in which we live. Thank you for being with us always and seeing to it that all your promises for us and to us are fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go out, we're still going to take a request. So who's got... Sarah, that was fast. I'm going to have to defer to Sarah on that because she shot up quick. What do you got? 389, okay. 389. Let's stand and sing. Oh, Jesus, I have promised him. 389. Bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, not only now, but forevermore, as you go into your day and into your week. May the peace of Christ be with you. Amen.